Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Locker Room Access post-game show as the Hoos win their ninth game in the ACC over Pitt, 73-66. Dougie, let's talk about your guards.
You know what? They were like underwhelming, overwhelming. So I love the way they finished the game. Early in the game, not so impressed. They kind of disappeared. Kihei didn't shoot well, but Kihei's aggressive in the second half. You know, he's making missed layup assists to Jay Huff because he's aggressive. He goes, he pulls the defender to him. He missed a layup. Jay dunks it. Great play. Beekman, I love. I wanted to be a little more aggressive at times, but his aggressive misses were good as well because he's going to the basket. Just take a couple more shots from outside, but they passed the grade tonight. B plus.
Just like my man Little Ty's ready to give you an assist with the left hand.
Yep.
I love how Kihei dribbled down the paint, threw that left hand pass to Jay for the three. Was that Jay or Sam? I can't remember now. On the wing.
I believe it was Jay. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so too. Incredible, great play. That won't show up in the stat sheet. Will show up as an assist, but the fact that he drew the defense. And commit, got everybody to commit, and then hit him with the left-hand pass coming down the paint. It's an awesome play that just no one sees the value in that. I won't say no one. A lot of people see the value in that.
Oh, Kihei is great at that.
Great drive. He had a great drive to open things up a little bit too. The end of the game, we turned the ball over a little bit, right? Some of the concerns we have from the same thing from the last two games, previous two games, right? Some turnovers, right? And giving up offensive rebounds. A little shaky at the end of the game, right? Where we committed 11 turnovers and we surrendered 14 offensive rebounds.
Yeah, and that was the moment we needed Kihei to step up and take control. And that seemed to be the time where he ended up being the shakiest. I mean, he didn't shoot well from three tonight, but he had four turnovers in the second half. I don't know how many were in that stretch where Pitt really made it scary. But there were some poor decisions down the stretch, and then of course he made some great plays down the stretch, and it's easy to say, yeah, we need more of the great plays and fewer of the not so great plays, but I mean clearly he's the leader, and I look for him just to be a facilitator first and a scorer second, and I think he's at his best when he has that mindset, and that kind of varied a little bit at times tonight.
Yep, absolutely. Hav is actually could not join us for the post game. He actually had to get to a birthday party, as Zach does too later shortly. So we're going to come to him in a minute. They both have Zach is your 13 year old. I'm sorry. Your sister's 13th birthday party.
Yeah. Yeah. Just
fantastic. Is his daughter's 13 too? Dougie. Do we know? All right. Dougie.
No, his son. His son's 13. Yeah.
His son's 13. His daughter.
Johnny.
And Zach's. Okay. Maybe I have it right. Maybe not. Whatever. Coach, the bench play today. Let's talk about Thomas Wodatensai.
Like I said earlier this season that if this team is going to reach its potential and really go far, it's going to be with him as a regular contributor. And this was a good first step. The last four games for him have not been good from an offensive standpoint. But today, what did he miss? One shot total? Was it, or did he miss two shots? Did he also miss a long?
He might miss two. I think one was at the end of the shot clock and he had to force it up.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, I mean, that's, really, that's what he's there for, right? I think he's defensively pretty neutral these days. I don't think he's a defensive minus, but so if he can come in and contribute on the offensive end, he's going to contribute to the success of this team. And today was one of those days.
Can I ask you something about TW? The other TW?
RTW or Thomas?
No, Thomas. If you watch him, and we were talking offline, when he shoots the ball, when his feet are set, and facing his foot's in the rim, he makes it. When his foot's offside, it's tricky, right? And yep. I think it's a focus for him. But you see, I can see it the second he shoots the ball, in or out.
Here's the – thank you, Dougie, for pointing that out, giving instruction to the audience. We appreciate that. In all honesty, here's the thing that TB does every once in a while. If someone's having a very good first half, he'll start, and they come off the bench normally, he'll start that guy in the second half.
Yes.
Right? He's done that, I guess, since I've been watching Virginia play over the last
that,
6 years.
That happened with me zero times. I've never started the first or second half once. Go ahead. Sorry. I'm sorry.
No. Well, we just need to have Hav here because Hav is often talks about whether or not how well we adjust. And so I want to know if he thought that was a good adjustment or not so much a good adjustment because we didn't see Casey in the second half.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
but and Tomas started the second half.
We didn't see Casey. First
half. Right.
Yeah, we didn't. Yeah.
We didn't see him in the second
half. I also noticed Reese came out at the 18-minute mark of the second half and did not come back in until the 11-minute mark. Reese.
And he had Kihei.
Well, I thought Tomas Reese was hurt because he kind of walked over Gimpy a little bit. Like he was walking like I walk now, which is not ideal. But I was worried, but then he came back in and he would, did his thing. So,
yep. Joining us now, who I wouldn't recognize initially because I'm still a little mad at him for not returning my call in over a week. Ahmad Hawkins, the ball hawk. Hawkey, thanks for joining us.
What's up, fellas? Hey, man. Don't do that to me, man. I'm sorry.
Hey Mark,
no, you don't call people back.
I want to leave something on you guys. I have to get my little girl downstairs.
Thanks for joining us.
If you listen to the ball hawk talk,
don't do that to me.
And sorry. You close your eyes.
Mark, no, I'm you don't call people back.
I want to leave something on you guys. I have to get my little girl downstairs.
Thanks for joining us.
Got some reverberation.
Yeah, we do. My bad.
Don't do that to me, man. I'm
and
sorry.
You close your eyes.
Oh, no, all right. Okay. Go ahead, Dougie. Leave something for us.
If you close your eyes and listen to the ball hawk, you cannot not tell me that's not Allen Iverson. These two dudes speak the exact same. And I've been waiting. I want to do it on Twitter, on Facebook. I've been waiting to say this. These two, I want to say the word, Mark. I can't say it. Dudes, they
say it because I don't know that I'm going to get a chance to. Dougie, please say it because I don't know what the other three guys on. I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to ring the bell.
No, nah, I don't want to. It's the real one, the MF-er. These two motherfuckers say it the same way.
Don't do it. All right.
Hawk, you ever been told that or not? Ball Hawk. You guys, it's the same voice. It makes sense. I'm from Fayetteville, Tennessee. I speak like somebody from Memphis.
Nah, you're the first I've ever heard somebody say that, but my mom did.
All right, talk about practice right now, ball hawk.
Practice, not a game.
You ever been told
not a game,
that? Ball hawk.
But
you guys
practice.
It's the same voice.
Practice.
It makes sense. I'm from Philly.
You said I'm the franchise player, and we up here talking
I've
about
heard
practice.
Somebody say that.
Close your eyes. Close your eyes.
Right now, ball hawk. That's awesome.
You ever been told
not
that?
A game,
ball hawk.
But practice.
We're still hearing.
Yeah,
I'm trying to text TW right now to figure that out because I know that Oz will fix it for us. All right, Dougie, are you out of here now?
I'm out. I'm sorry, guys.
All right, we're going to miss you. We're going to miss me getting a chance to ring the bell.
I want to hear the Hawk talk about hoop, man.
Dougie.
All the football players think they can hoop. I get it.
Dougie, Tuesday night, Jay Willie show. The talk has been, will you have your question prepared?
Never.
Okay.
I just show up and spit it.
Because then maybe we're going to change it from the fresh question of the week to the maybe fresh question of the week.
No, I can do it. I'll figure it out.
All right, Dougie. We'll see you Tuesday night. Thanks.
All right.
Enjoy.
Late.
All right, gents. The stories of the game on offense. Tomas Wodatensai, Sam Hauser. Sammy had a great second half, strong first half, right? Missed one shot. I want to say he was 5 for 6.
Yeah, I mean, the shooters came up big in the second half especially. And, they didn't shoot the ball that well in the first. But once Sam, Jay, and Tomas really started hitting in second half, it was kind of over. You know, we had issues with turnovers as the second half progressed and Pitt started pressing a little bit more. But it was really good to see them hit some shots out of their sort of mover blocker sides offense. That's what Tomas gives you off the bench, right? If he's hitting, he's going to stretch the defense in that set. And they also did some sort of backside cleared out ball screen stuff with Kihei and Jay that
they carried over from the NC State game, which is good to see. You know, they're continuing to give Kihei opportunities to sort of find guys, you know, sort of in their three-man triangle offense. Teams continue to play off of Kihei on the perimeter as he's, you know, struggled a little bit from three. And they're doing that a little bit sort of with some high ball screen stuff as well. But on the wing, they're able to take advantage of some of that weak side stuff a lot easier. And so that's been good to see. And then when you have Thomas coming off the bench, I mean, I think Thomas is the MVP of this game, right? If he doesn't hit 14 points, you know, off the bench, I don't know if we win this game, especially with sort of how things, we needed that cushion, you know, with how things played out at the end. Yeah. And, you know, Hav has said it, you know, Hav said it in a bunch of times, you know, Thomas is going to have a big game, right? He's going to come off the bench. He's going to start hitting some shots because he's a veteran guy. And he knows his role, and you know when he's hitting, Bennett's going to leave him in there, and you know he kept hitting, and that was huge for us.
Yep.
And can we take a second to recognize Sam's defense tonight?
Absolutely.
On Champagne. I mean, it was just I thought he was moving better, and he was really kind of using his strength in a more positive way than he has it sometimes. So I was really impressed by that because obviously that's a difference maker at that end.
Yep. And I think Sammy was actually 8 for 9.
Yeah.
And not 7 for 8. So 7 for 9 rather. I think he was 3 for 4 from 3 and 5 for 6 from 2. Great game. And you talk about his defense. Not only did he play great defense on Champagne, I can't help it. A Brooklyn dude. So I got to say his name right. Right. Champagne had a solid game. I think he was 4 for 6 in the first half. And I want to say he was 4 for 11 in the second half.
He didn't get anything easy.
How about Henry with the graphic? Let's give it up to him for the graphic.
Right? Henry, that's beautiful work. I can tell it's a passion of yours.
That's awesome, right? Not only that, though, but Sammy is such a smart player.
Yeah.
He's in the right spots. He's tough. He rebounds tough. He's got his arms up. He's rotating all the time. He's moving his feet so much better on defense. He looks really good. Really good.
And there was a stretch tonight that Sam and Jay were dropping threes, and maybe Tomas got in on it too. That was just like, man, if this team can find that mojo, I mean, that's you start to see where their ceiling is and how far they can go. But you just haven't seen it consistently enough.
Hawkey, can you talk about Jay Huff, please? Can you hear us?
Yeah. Can I talk about Jay Huff?
Yep. Strong game today.
Yeah, man. I like Jay. Jay has so many tools in the toolbox. It's just all about, you know, getting them in the right spots. Like, everybody wants Jay to just overpower people at the block. But the thing is, man, you just got to get them going early. The fact that he can stretch the floor, the fact he's so athletic, you always expect him to always display that. And it just takes some time. I think he feeds well off of Kihei being aggressive and then looking to kick it to him or looking to dump it to him. And then sometimes Kihei gets in trouble, some of his decision making. But just Jay overall, man, he's that X factor, because we know Sam could score, but Jay is the biggest matchup problem. And then he's a two-way guy that teams just can't go to the cup, because he's not just 7 foot, but he's athletic at 7 feet. He has great timing. The main thing, you just want to play stronger sometimes, but you understand what he can and can't do. So a lot of times he won't show that strength, because that's not really his game, to try to overpower somebody. He's a true European style big that, like I said, has so many skills that, you know, he kind of gets lost in between of what he can do and what you expect him to do. So, but I love what he brings to the table, especially when he's shooting that three ball from the top of the key. I mean, that's like a cheat code.
Yeah, that's his money spot. Now, Hawk, did you play NBA Jam back in the day?
Yeah.
Yeah, and every player had their one hot spot from three. And if you shot that consistently, you were like 95% there. And that's Jay's spot, is right at the top of the key there. It's just every time he gets it, I mean, I'm just throwing my arms up on my couch.
Yeah, team's going to back off Kihei. Like Zach said, they basically treating him like he Rajon Rondo or he Giannis. They're going to play, or Ben Simmons, they're going to play him at the free throw line to bring Jay up as a show, like high screen, and just see what they do. They hedge it, or if they're going to trail Kihei, if you trail him too tight, then he could just kick it right back to Jay. So I like that. Well, if team's going to play Kihei back, then bring Jay up high, because you sitting right in his sweet spot. So I think it makes it easier to take away the decision making for Kihei to, you know, does he shoot or does he pass up? Because I know he's in a lose-lose situation, right? If he passes up, everybody like, shoot the ball, Kihei. Then if he takes the shot, it's like, why are you shooting at Kihei? Like, you can't shoot. So Jay can take that indecisiveness away and keep him out the doghouse with the fans. And I'm talking about Kihei.
Hey, I'm a big supporter of Corey doing our games. Corey Alexander, mm-hmm. broadcasting and analyzing the UVA games. I know some he gets beat up from some UVA fans saying he doesn't give us enough credit. I loved, and I was about to say the same thing. Actually, I said the same thing to the person I was watching with, talking about Chase Coleman when he pointed out. I don't know and then he went for half an hour about Chase Coleman. I'm exaggerating some. It was so fantastic. Who goes to go to school to be a walk-on and have the announcer talk about them for half an hour or 20 minutes, whatever it was, show video of them on the sideline, hanging out with the coaches, discussing strategy? What an incredible moment.
And I remember when Chase Coleman committed, because his tweet was something about taking a different path. And, you know, I think not all of us necessarily knew what that path was intended to be, but this is a kid that wants to be a coach, that's going to be a coach, and he's helping this year from the sideline. So I love to see it. And I'm glad you guys like Corey are giving him his due. Look, Corey does the same thing that I think Dan Bonner used to do. Like, you don't want to be a homer. You don't want to be the guy that's, you know, and sometimes that pendulum swings too far back the other way. But Corey's really good at this, so I enjoy it.
He's really good. Corey's really good, and he's so well-informed, and he knows so much about the kids coming out of high school and their AAUs, because he's all around. He's all over the place. He really works hard. He's
he said he was involved in the recruitment of Chase Coleman. Is that I heard that. I was like, really? Is that?
Well, it's probably true. I mean, you know, his brother Matt played at Texas, and Jay Willie was on his brother Matt trying to recruit him to UVA. I think it worked out well for Matt, and it worked out for UVA so far, right? But Chase is awesome. Like, when he jumped up in the air and screaming, yelling, and hooting and hollering in support of his
team. And you see that stance, he's always in on the sidelines. Like, he's not sitting down. Like, he's out there just encouraging and helping and stuff. It's awesome to see.
Yeah, absolutely. He's our version of Boy Wonder. Boy Wonder. What did you think of the offensive flow tonight? What'd you see out there? And Coach, I know you have to go. I know you got to leave us in a minute.
I do. I thought this was a good performance. Always a dangerous team. You know, Pitt's right there in the middle with these other teams, and you know, we pulled it out, and that's what winners do. So I've got no regrets about that game. We saw some good things, and we got enough tape to work on. I think the coaches will be happy, because they'll have some things to focus on in the off time. So I'm happy. Thanks, guys.
We'll see you Wednesday, Coach.
Sure. All right.
Boy Wonder, Pittsburgh plays really hard, and they go at you.
Yeah, no, they're a scrappy bunch. But yeah, I mean, the offensive flow, I think for the first probably maybe quarter of the game, and then the last, I don't know, fifth or so of the game, the offense struggled. You know, they turned the ball over late, and they were just kind of stuck early. You know, they were running some sides, running some three-man stuff. And I think that really when they started to hit their groove was when they went more spread ball screen stuff with Jay, with Kihei, allowing Kihei to find guys on the perimeter. And then, you know, running some pin downs for Thomas to be able to get him catch and shoot opportunities, right? And you know, they continue to kind of adjust as they go. Like, you know, Bennett has not been running one offense into the ground at all this season. You know, when Tech started adjusting to their triangle offense, their three-man set, and other teams have now, you know, followed suit, he's finding different ways to get his guys involved, right? And this is, you know, it's good to see. You know, they put up 73 points tonight. They shot the ball, I think, 50% from three. That's good to see. You know, they hit shots. I do think that you have to be a little bit concerned about some of the sluggishness to open the gate and the turnovers, and especially the issues with the press in the second, because we haven't seen a ton of issues with the press until now. And that was a little bit concerning. You know, they weren't getting clean inbounds passes. And then, you know, when they did, they were in the corner and they were getting trapped. So I'm sure that the coaches will address that in practice this week. You know, all in all, good performance. You know, didn't play a full 40 minutes, but when you can still beat an ACC team by 7 points, when you have some struggles, that's a good win. And, you know, it's on to the next one.
Yep. Ball Hawk, talk about the UVA defense for a moment. You've been following this team now for several years. You have your own podcast on UVA basketball. Mm-hmm. By the way, that's quite a nice setup you have there.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Very professional looking. So yeah, let's talk about defense, UVA defense. How does this team compare to teams in the past, and how have you seen them evolve over the last 7-8 games?
Yeah, so I think for as much fanfare as we get for our ability to play offense, I think it's taken a step back defensively, and it kind of comes with the territory in a sense because we got kind of spoiled over the years of our ability to kind of hedge and switch and rally back or double on the block and just everybody being on a string, right? Being on the same accord and trusting that your teammate will be where they're supposed to be. And then this year, we got guys that aren't as good on ball defenders in positions in which that was like the better, you know? So like Diakite, as far as a defender playing the four beside Jay or Key. And then you got Sam, who's better offensively, but defensively he has his weaknesses, but he played good defensively the past couple games. And then you try to find spots to get Tomas in the game because you understand what his shooting ability does. But defensively, it kind of reminds me of when Kyle first got here. It was like we knew how good he was offensively. Can he pick up defensively? And once he picked up defensively, and Ty as well, once they picked up defensively, I mean, it was a wrap. And what the pack line calls for is just for you to be on the same accord, understanding the gaps, understanding how to play pick and roll, how to show and then rally back. So when the big shows, somebody from the weak side shows, so it won't be, you know, just a dive down kick and then we can rally back to the weak side three. So it's lapses sometimes in pick and roll. You'll see guys kind of looking at each other because they won't come out ahead strong. They'll kind of stay lagged back. And sometimes Jay does that. But I think Jay doesn't – I don't really think Jay realizes how truly gifted he is athletically. I know as far as dunking he knows, but he's better laterally than what he thinks he is. He just has to trust himself. Same thing with Sam. It's just you can be better on ball when you trust the guys around you. And that's what's always made the pack line better, because I've seen us shut a guy like a Cat Barber down when he was at NC State. And it wasn't just because Malcolm was there or other guys were just shutting them down. It's because the ball handler identifies that it's a help in the gap over here. So I make it break you down, but I know it's help right there. So it's no use. And a lot of times we lose sight of helping off the ball. And it's times where we show that old, you know, pack line D, but a lot of times it's just not consistent enough to where Tony wants. And then Tony has to sub and get lineups in to kind of pick up for those deficiencies to make sure offensively we can continue to score points. Where in the past, it was like, we may have some empty possessions, but we knew defensively we'll shut you down. So that's just my perspective over the year of just doing the pack line defense and understanding that we've been special over the years. So sooner or later, you're going to have a little bit of a dip. And that's why I'm saying we've been spoiled so much that the dip is not as much as we think it is, but they've been phenomenal over the years, man. That's just a testament to Jay Willie and the coaching staff of making sure these guys just stay on the same accord.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Joining us now, Brandon Lloyd, longtime UVA guy.
What's up, Brandon, guys?
Thanks so much for coming on.
Lloyd.
Yeah, Mark. Good to see you guys.
Great to see you.
I had to log off of Facebook for a little while.
Why is that?
Oh, man, it's terrible. People just dogging Kihei like crazy because he has a couple of charges that are considered turnovers, I guess. But the points, I mean, he shot a little more than he probably needed to tonight, but the assists speak for themselves. I mean, he's still the facilitator and the leader on this team right now. So,
yeah, no, he definitely is the leader. Brandon, before we go into a couple of questions, let's let people know a little bit about you. How long have you been a UVA guy?
Oh, wow. I mean, yeah. I mean, I grew up a UVA fan, so 30 plus years. Did some freelance writing for a while. I'm done with that right now, but back to being kind of a fan and a kind of a side analyst. So it's nice to be in this position rather than kind of the unbiased part of it, I guess I was for a while.
Yeah. What do you think about this year's team? What do you think about Bennett's style compared to how? So you were way before Bennett, though, correct?
Oh yeah, I mean, I grew up with Jeff Jones, Pete Gillen. Yeah.
Yeah. Too bad Doug and Hav aren't on the show because they'd have a lot to talk about with Gillen and JJ.
I mean, I've seen the styles change from. I mean, the Jeff Jones days were. I mean, they played lockdown defense too, but they could also score. And then the Pete Gillen days, they were just run and gun. And if they weren't scoring, then they were done. And then transitioning over to Dave Leto, that's another story too. But this team is definitely different from Bennett's teams in the past. And people kind of look back at what he's done with the defense and look at this year and say, well, they're not suffocating teams and allowing 50 points or less during these games. But it's a totally different mindset that Tony has with this team. I mean, he's got a guy in Trey Murphy and Sam Hauser who come in as offensive guys and are still trying to, Sam is still trying to learn the defensive system. Trey has kind of had to adjust on the fly too, being kind of thrown in because everybody thought he was going to sit out this year. Jay, he's a fifth year guy, but he's not that defensive guy that Ben has had in the past, and Isaiah Wilkins and Jack Salt. He's more of an offensive guy too. So it's just a different team, but it's good to see them scoring the ball and able to step out and shoot threes as well.
Brandon, a couple weeks ago, or maybe as recently as a week ago, several fans and posts were posting and tweeting and talking about how this may be one of Bennett's best offensive teams. Was that your similar thought?
No, absolutely. I mean, compared to with Ty and Kyle and Dre and that team, that national championship team, I mean, it's similar, but it's also a lot different in the style they play because you have guys in Sam and Jay who are the four and the five on this team that can step out and stretch defenses. It's not necessarily a guard-based offense like it was with Ty and Kyle. So it's definitely it's a different style of offense, but I think it's grown in a way this year where they started out hot and then kind of had a little setback against Gonzaga and games like that. But I think they're kind of coming on here in the middle of ACC play.
Right. Recently, I'd say the last three games, today was a little bit different. And once we hit the 10-minute mark of the first half,
yeah.
But prior to that, the first 10 minutes and the previous two games against NC State and Virginia Tech, we seem to be struggling a little bit on offense.
Well, I think teams are starting to realize that their best offense comes when they're hitting threes like that on the outside with guys like Jay and Sam. So they're trying to pack in a little bit and let other guys shoot the ball. Like Kihei started out the game kind of struggling because they were giving him shots. They're giving Reese those shots in the corner because Reese hasn't really – his offense is still kind of developing. So their teams are realizing what works for this UVA offense and what doesn't. But once the game kind of gets in a flow and Bennett makes those adjustments, I think you see that they start doing other things that open up those shots, like in the screen and roll game with Kihei and Jay and Sam. So I think that opens up things later in the game.
All right, real quickly, let me interrupt real quick. We got to say goodbye to Zach. He's got to go to his sister's 13th birthday party of her young life. So enjoy that, Zach.
I will do. Yeah,
and then
appreciate
can you get us the breakdown of the offensive schemes at some point?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's some different stuff that they've been experimenting with. So yeah, I'll totally break it down tonight and put it out shortly. But appreciate it all and have a good one.
All right, Zach.
Enjoy.
See you guys.
Enjoy that 13th birthday party. Yes, hey, at this point, I'm going to ask T-Dubs to come on for a moment. If our T-W, not Thomas Wolde Tensai, to come on because I want to have a brief conversation and maybe it's more than brief about Kihei. And I know he's been the talk of some people and people are castigating him. And I know TW and I feel differently about Kihei, where I'm a strong supporter of him. And even if he doesn't have a good game, I still believe like kids and young people should not be abused and beat up on social media like he often is. And for some reason, people like to beat him up, right? T-Dubs, we've talked about it a few times and it just explained one more time. If maybe there's some new people listening today, Why do people beat him up? Why do people assail him so much?
I think part of it is height. Like you see a guy that is undersized and you have a bias, you immediately think he shouldn't be on the court, and it's just confirmation bias. You immediately want any reason, you're going to say, see, short people shouldn't be playing basketball. It doesn't matter. And he brings so much to the table, but that little piece for, I would say, I don't know if it's average fan or just a fan that's stuck in their ways, is just going to see the short guy. He makes a mistake. He shouldn't be playing. And Jay gets the reverse because he's 7 feet tall. No matter what he does, he's a god because he's 7 feet tall. So it's really fun for me just to watch the reaction. And it's like purely confirmation bias to me, what I see, because me and you kind of agree a lot of the times. It's the reverse. Jay does some things that are pretty frustrating. No one cares about them because he hits threes and dunks and he's 7 feet tall. And so it's just, to me, very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. No, and again, I'm not, and I don't believe in beating people up on social media, on air, whatever it is. You know, I think that all these guys, and I'll keep saying this forever till I'm blue in the face, till I die, all these kids are so good. But there is separation between some of them, right? And Jay will make some mistakes, as T-Dubs you're talking about. Like, for example, one time today, he was out of position and he got beat, but he was able to recover and he blocked the shot, right? Sometimes that's the gift of being 7 feet tall and having some long arms, right? But again, he was out of position. And people aren't going to recognize that, but they're going to recognize that he was able to recover and get. Now, let's also talk about why he was able to recover. He was able to recover because, let's be frank, Pittsburgh is not that good. Right, Pittsburgh's right. Big guys, just like one guy I think scored 8 points and the other guy didn't score at all,
right.
And I think Jay's a wonderful player. I think he's a really, really good player,
so talented, right?
But Ahmad, let's talk about the height thing. How tall are you?
5'4".
Five nine and a quarter. I gotta add in a quarter.
So add that quarter, and then yeah. With cleats when you play football. Did that get you to 5'10"?
With a helmet on, it was like 6 feet with a helmet.
All right. Like, but you were a small receiver, right? Considered a small receiver.
And a smaller DB, yeah.
Right. So did you ever get beat up because of that? Or would people look at you like, oh, this guy can't play. He's only 5'9", 5'10".
Oh, yes. You know, you got the likes of Herman Moore. I remember when Billy McMullen came here. They wanted Billy to play over me because Billy was 6'4", and I was 5'9". That's where my defense of Kihei comes, because folks came at me the same way. I'm a shorter receiver. So it's like, put the big guy in. Like, take the little guy out. They just want you to specialize in certain things. And a lot of times, like, my motto with my show is, I don't go at college athletes because they're still learning. They're still young people that's still trying to learn their way through the world. If you're getting paid for a living, I'm Petty Hawk, I have fun with you. But I understand that you're playing on the highest platform as well. So if I say you trash by the standards of that league, like, you're really not trash. But I don't like to really come down on a college player. Like, what am I getting out of that? Like, what are you getting out of saying, oh my God, this is Kihei's not an ACC caliber player. He's not this. So what are you saying about Tony when you say that? Like, you're questioning a coach you say is one of the best we ever had, one of the best in the country. And you're second guessing Tony, leaving him on the court. Like, every time somebody comes in, it's like, okay, this should take minutes away from Kihei.
All right. He's
the first person they come to. If we lose, let's check Kihei's stat line. Let's see if we can attack him. You know, let's look at turnovers. Let's look at assists. Let's look at his shot. So if Kihei can't shoot and he passes up an open shot to make sure Jay get one or Sam get one, they say, well, he's not shooting. He's scared to shoot. But then if he is shooting like he was today, is why is he shooting that? So it's like, it's a lose-lose. And people got to realize, like, yo, bro, it's a dead, you're beating a dead horse. And it's a shame that we always tell people they could be anything they want to be, to set their mind to it. And you got a kid who's undersized, understands his limitations, but he understands basketball. So if you're backing off of me, I got to close that space. I have to threaten you. I have to see if somebody's going to help you when I'm threatening you, so I can create a shot for one of my shooters. So if he's going to the cup too deep and he gets it blocked, it's still showing the opponent he's going to attack. So we still got to defend him. So we may not like that he's going to the cup and he might get stuck. But it's the same way we treat Ben Simmons. You're not shooting jumpers. All right, take the space away. Come downhill. Make them commit. Make them make a decision. And then we can formulate and build around that. So that's what I like about him that won't show up in the stat sheet is what Ty saw him, is what Cal saw him. People are questioning who's our leader. If you don't think he's our leader, you need some shut the hell up juice. If you don't think Kihei Clark is our leader, you are true.
I need to give a reinforcement ding for saying shut the hell up juice. Right? Yeah. Usually we give it to Dougie for cursing. Or a couple of
F word. That's a little like left. Hell, you can get away with the F word.
I think it's interesting too. They were talking about how Xavier Johnson wasn't recruited by UVA, and how he came into this game having never beaten UVA, and he wanted this game so bad because Tony didn't recruit him, and Tony recruited Kihei instead. And you see on the opposite end of it, Kihei has won a national championship, has won all of these ACC games, continues to win. Even though he shoots 4 for 12 and just gets knocked by everybody because he's 4 for 12, should he be taking 12 shots? Probably not. But what he does is he opened up the offense there in the first half by taking those threes. He opened it up. And so by doing that, he ended up with 8 assists. He didn't have any assists in the first couple minutes. But what that did is that kept him in the game because they were able to kind of move the offense a little differently because Pitt had to keep running out at him. So I think it is interesting how, like Ahmad said, Kihei always gets the blame when he shoots 4 for 12. They don't look at the assists. They don't look at the 8 assists. At one point he had 7 assists, no turnovers. So it's just going to continue to happen that way. So I don't even really look at it anymore. It's not worth it.
Yeah, and you're on social media a lot, right? And
unfortunately.
It's tough sometimes. You know, I used to want to, anytime someone said anything about any of my kids,
yeah,
Ty or Kobe, yeah, and you know, I wanted to call up everybody or send text messages back to them. And like, I just, people send these awful messages and these critical messages about a young kid who's 18, 19, 20, 21. And I've said this before, and I'm always going to say it. And stop, like, just stop. Like, what are you getting out of it, right? Now, I try to understand everything, right? So I can maybe see someone's pissed off because they're losing a bet, right? Because maybe they took Virginia and Virginia didn't cover the point spread or whatever it is. So, all right, in a moment of anger, they're going to tweet something out, right? But
this team is 56-10 in the last 11 points, ACC games.
What do you have? 11 points, 8 assists. That's a pretty good stat line for a point guard. Okay, yes, he did only shot 4 for 12 or 1 for 6 from three. Okay, it's going to happen.
They're going to point out turnovers. They're going to look at turnovers or.
But he didn't have a turnover until I think maybe 8 minutes left in the game.
Yeah, you're right.
When they started pressing and I, for some reason, I don't know why Sam gets the ball to when they have two point guards on the floor. I'm not sure exactly why Reese and Kihei don't just go to the ball and have. I mean, that's designed for that. Obviously, the defense is doing that. But Sam doesn't need to be bringing the ball up the court in those situations when they're up 12 points. And
it's B, that's a great point. I was going to actually raise that, too. It's not great because I was going to raise that, but it's great, right? Just because Sam is not the point guard. And you're playing with two point guards on the game. One of those guys needs to get the ball, right? And when they're not being trapped, I haven't seen any of those guys turn the ball over one-on-one, bringing the ball up. By any defense on an opposing team this year, right? It's just not going to happen. It's rarely going to happen between those two guys in the open court.
Reese is a little shaky, but I mean, he's a true freshman. It's bound to happen. But like you said, when Kihei and Reese have the ball in one-on-one situations, they're not turning it over.
Yeah, they're really not. What's the message, T-Dubs? Like, is this ever going to change with Kihei and Jay?
Someone just said, let me just read this from Glenn Dotson. He said, Kihei has a lifetime pass, untouchable, Purdue Elite Eight. We don't have a ring without him. So I think there are going to be a lot of people like that. I'm definitely in that camp because we don't want a title without what Kihei brings to the table. So whatever he does, he can have 100 turnovers the next game. I'm still team Kihei. So that's kind of my stance on, but I love what he brings to the table, how he fits into the TB system. Like he's a perfect player for it.
And maybe I'm a little biased just because I know some of the players and I know Kihei, and he's just such a lovable kid, right? He's a freaking lovable kid, right?
Yeah.
He's the nicest kid. And so when you see them off the court and you interact with them, like, how could you possibly, I mean, kids shouldn't, it shouldn't happen anyway, right?
Right.
But how could you possibly beat up this kid, verbally attack him when he's, this lovable, like 21 year old kid? I can't get it. I don't understand.
Winning
it. Like,
okay, game,
maybe you don't think he's a good player.
Yeah.
Say maybe he's maybe not a good player, but
the thing with Kihei, in all fairness, so we look at like the last 6 or 7 years, like when London Parentes left, right, and Ty took over the helm, they tried with Ty. This is when I first started doing recapping. You know, that's when I started, made the, you know, the theme song, You Better Call Ty Jerome, because I was like, yo, like, he didn't play like London. So they didn't know what to expect from Ty. They would give him grief. And then Ty is a high caliber NBA talent. So he leaves, and now you got Kihei, who is a foot shorter, and it's like, oh, he ain't Ty. But y'all was saying that about Ty with London.
Absolutely.
And I keep respecting. I got hella screenshots, but I just don't get that petty. But I understand fans not really putting things in contact and perspective. Like, it's, Kihei has a lot of deficiencies as far as from the eye test, right? But ask defenders who bring the ball up. Ask defenders who have to defend him. Yeah, you make your back off a little bit, but he can boogie. And he'll get to he's trying to post you up at 5. He's like 5'8".
Can we do a height test between you and Kihei?
Oh, I'm taller than Kihei.
Kihei's not perfect. Come on. Nobody's saying he's
perfect.
Saying
that.
I agree. You know, T-Dubs, you alluded to the Elite Eight pass, right, against Purdue. Not only that, but the job he did on Peyton Pritchard in Oregon. Like, I don't think we win that game. Mm. And the incredible job he did on what's his name from Auburn?
Right.
The little guard from Auburn.
Yeah. That historic, like, over the years with UVA under TV, quick, small guards have given us problems, right? Seth, I mean, you can go down the list. We had a quick guard that was disruptive. We struggled, right? We lost a lot of those games. And Kihei came and filled that gap and shut it up, basically, right? Especially without him, Carson Edwards has 100 that game. Right? I mean, like, he was ridiculous. But, you know,
on everybody.
Yeah, he was going crazy. So it's like, let's remember where we were prior to Kihei and what he's brought to the table.
And Kihei is a more, in my opinion, more skilled, lighter version of Jontel Evans. Jontel Evans was maybe 5'10", 5'11".
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he could body you. He was strong, but Kihei is much quicker and can shoot the ball better. Jontel maybe could get to the basket a little better, but it's kind of like, this is a Kihei is the version of Jontel in this point of Tony Bennett's career, when the team is more talented around them and you're seeing the success from it.
Yep. And when you talk about defense, Xavier Johnson had 32 points against Virginia Tech earlier in the week.
Yep.
Right. Tonight he has 10.
And Wabisa Bidi is considered to be one of the best point guards in the league.
3-for-12 shooting. Right. That didn't just happen because, you know, anybody was on him. Right. He was being defended by a couple of guys, including Kihei. Kihei was very disruptive.
Now, folks, you know, when Reese came in and Reese shows his potential and he's cat quick, he's tall, he fits the eye test. It's like, all right, sit Kihei now. We got Reese.
Right.
Like, dang.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. And Reese is going to be great. It's going to take some time, though.
Yeah.
But look at them on the floor together. I mean, that's way more dangerous than just having one of them on the floor.
So that you bring that up, B. Lloyd, and let's talk about tonight's game. When Thomas Woloteinsai came in and played the entire second half, again, TB has a penchant for doing that. If somebody's hot in the first half, sometimes he'll make an adjustment. Now, if you're benefiting from that, that's great, right? But what does that do now for your confidence if you were the guy that played in the first half and didn't play in the second half? So in this case, possibly Casey Morsell.
Well, I didn't quite understand the lack of minutes for Thomas after that Clemson game when he was hot. I mean, he only had, I think, a combined like 18 minutes or something and up until tonight and only took like five or six shots, which didn't really make too much sense to me because like a shooter, I mean, I was a shooter back in the day. I know that if you miss your first shot, okay, you get ready to take your next shot. And then that's how you get in a rhythm. And that's kind of what he did tonight. And then, like you said, Casey being on the bench on the, in this part, it obviously it's going to take away the confidence that Casey had coming into this game because he was kind of developing a little bit of a flow. But I think like we've seen with Tony coaching Virginia over these 12, 13 years, once he gets these set six or seven guys that he's comfortable with, he's going to ride with them. So we'll see. I mean, who knows what's going to happen against Georgia Tech on Wednesday. I don't know if Thomas is going to get another 20 minutes, if Casey will get the bulk of the minutes. I mean, we just don't know. It's just kind of that the flow of the game and kind of see what happens, I guess.
Yep. Casey hasn't scored in the in the last two games, and he scored four against Virginia Tech. So I want to make – I hope he's able to be confident enough come Wednesday night against Georgia Tech where he's able to attack the basket and put up some shots.
I was going to ask you, Mark, what do you think about the makeup of this team and the changes that we're ultimately going to see, right? Because it's like you've got these great big guys that can stretch the floor. How do you see us developing come March?
It's a good question, T-Dubs, and I think somebody's going to have to be able to shoot the ball from the outside, one of the guards, whether it's Kihei, whether it's Casey, whether it's Reese. And maybe this is if Tomas is shooting well, he's going to stay in the game. He's going to play. It's that situation where the coaches, I guess, have maybe they've communicated it to him or maybe it's just understood. Tomas, if you come in and you hit two out of four shots or one out of three shots or two out of three, you're going to stay in and you're going to play a lot of minutes. This is a great confidence booster. But I will say, Tomas, I know there's a concern about his defense, right? If he can shoot it well, this is a different team.
Yeah.
Right. And I will also say that the last couple of games, his shots didn't fall when in a couple of minutes he got, but he was really confident in shooting them. And that's such to be mentally tough and confident is a huge part of basketball, right? Huge part of any high levels athletic event, right? Or team sport, whatever it is, football, to be so confident in being a receiver, to as a shooter, if you can be confident, even if you don't make one or two and you're still confident to take that third and fourth and fifth one at crunch time, you're going to find some playing time at some point, right? So that's going to be critical for UVA to have a guard who's going to hit from the outside. It's because they're just going to – teams are going to back off the guards, and they're going to help out on Sam. They're going to help out a little bit on Jay, and they're going to help out a little bit on Trey, right? And by the way, we need to talk about Trey at one point, maybe in the next pregame show or postgame show, because he's having a tremendous, tremendous season, and we haven't highlighted him enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
What I was going to say is I think it also depends on the other end. If you need a guy like Casey in there to lock down that two guard or three guard, Pitt didn't really have that tonight. They had Xavier Johnson and they had Champagne underneath. So Thomas in there made sense because he could get his work on the offensive end. And I mean, he's a below average defender, but they didn't really need him on the defensive end tonight. Like they need Casey sometimes in there against teams with a guy like a two or a three that can score.
Right. And I think that's what T-Dubs is talking about when we start getting into the tournament, start getting the national tournament or the ACC semifinals or championship, if we make it that far and get to the third or fourth round in the NCAA tournament, where you're going to have three, four guys that can really play and score and bring you somebody off the bench, then it's going to be really fun to watch and interesting to watch, right? Who plays, who gets playing time.
Yeah.
Because you think, I mean, when I look at it, it's like you've got these guys that can stretch. How do you take advantage of that? It's like you need somebody to get in the lane and force them to help, right? And leave a guy open. Do we have that? Are we going to develop someone that does that? That's going to be interesting and fun to see. And I think, you know, Reese and Kihei, that combination, I think with more time is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. And you bring up the point you're talking about basically is matchups, right? And matchups make the difference in the tournament. Right, one could lose to eight because that unique situation where that eighth ranked team or eighth seeded team or 12th seeded team just had better players at those positions than that number one seed or number two seed.
Yeah.
Right. So matchups are always an issue or a good thing for the lower seeded teams when it comes to tournament time.
And that's what I actually like about Casey is I think even though you know, he may struggle shooting the ball, I think he's so gifted attacking the rack like he can finish around the cup. I just think he has to believe that. Like, I think he could just catch it coming off a curl and just go downhill versus settling. That's, you know, that's one thing you have to figure out when you're on the court. Like, I wasn't a shooter, so I had to go to the, like Brandon played me. I had to go to the cup because my J ain't like that. So you know what you can do. He's a great defender, but on the offensive end, again, he's another giftedly athletic person. You know, he's similar like Reese is the same way. Like, teams may start to back off Reese, but Reese is crafty. And are you going to help? Because I think he's good. Casey's good enough to where he can get a blow by, and somebody's going to have one of those bigs may have to help him protect the rim. And now you're leaving Sam, or you're leaving Jay open, or if Trey follows you, if he's in the game too, you throw a oop. But I think a lot of times these guys just got to realize, like, you're not turning down a open jumper. You're actually dictating the defense now. You're dictating the rotation. Because a lot of times they forget that you're not a shooter. Just your natural instinct is to rotate and run out. And people are like, why are you running out? He's not a shooter. But you forget sometimes.
Right.
Just rotate over. So I just think, you know, with these guys, the main thing is you have to be aggressive and attack the rim and see if you could get a call. Just see if you could get somebody sagging off and being able to keep your eyes up and find an open guy.
Especially when they shoot such a good percentage from the free throw line. I mean, that's, they don't get to the line a lot, but I mean, when they have gotten to the line this year, they're shooting well. So yeah, attack the basket.
Yeah. Brandon, do you think in the tournament, this is going to be a tough team to scout on one day off of one day? Like, there's a lot of components to this Virginia team that if you don't do your research, you got one day, you're probably thinking Tony Bennett is pack line. I'm going to do my research. And then it's going to be
so many guys that can beat you.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got five guys that can beat, that can literally beat you. Kihei can beat you. Jay can beat you. Sam can beat you. Trey can beat you. I mean, that's,
yeah,
just,
you know, T-Dub, that,
they're potent.
It's a great question. And we talked to Derek Wittenberg at the pregame show the other night before the NC State game. And I don't know if you guys heard it. He said that Texas Tech invited him down to talk about Virginia because he was in conference at NC. He was assistant coach at NC State. And Texas Tech invited him down before the championship game to talk to them about Virginia's strengths, weaknesses, and how to and scouting them.
Hmm.
Yeah.
No, it's fascinating. Don't have a true identity. Like when folks say, we don't have an identity, we need an identity. Just think about the opponent, the ops, when they scouting you. Like, what do they do? Like, if it's crunch time, what is their bread and butter? Like, do you know what's going to happen? I think that's that national championship year, you didn't really know. Because you had a killer in Ty, you had a killer in Cal, you had a killer in DeAndre. So that's what made that team so special. As much as, you know, people talk bad about Jack, like, you can't substitute those screens, you can't substitute those tip outs. And then what happens if he gives you 8 points in a bunch? That demoralizes you.
Yeah.
You know, so that's sometimes that's the gift, the curse can actually be a gift. So it's like, you know, what do we do? It's like the op don't know either.
Talking about Jack, people forget, and Orlando Vandros, assistant coach, was on the Jay Willie show one night talking about how critical Jack was in the game against Purdue. And not only do we not win without Kihei and Mamadi hitting that shot, but if Jack's not playing as well as he did, we don't win that Elite Eight game either.
Right.
All right. Wednesday night, Georgia Tech. Have you guys had a chance, Brandon, have you seen Georgia Tech besides the one time we played them?
Yeah, they're kind of hit or miss. I mean, if Alvarado and those guys are have that toughness about them. I watched them against Louisville the other day, and the first half they were pretty good. The second half they were just awful. And I think they're kind of a hit or miss team. I mean, they got up early on Virginia here in Charlottesville. I think they got up double digits. So they don't really have that killer instinct kind of yet, that passers trying to get in them. So I think they're going to be a tough matchup, but I think Virginia goes down there and wins the game, but it's going to be kind of probably a similar game that it was up here, that they have guys that can shoot the ball and get to the basket, but I don't think they have that killer instinct yet.
Yep. All right, 7 o'clock Wednesday night at Georgia Tech. It's on the ACC Network X, whatever that means, extra, I guess. I don't know how many people have ACC Network in Virginia. I always see complaints about it, and I don't have ACC X. So I'm hoping it's on one of the stations here. It's channel 55 in New York. Sometimes they show ACCX. So hopefully we'll get to see the game, because otherwise I don't know what we're going to do, T-Dubs.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
I know you will. We all know T-Dubs will figure it out for sure.
We have to hack our way into that grandma stream or something. We'll figure it out.
All right, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. B. Lloyd, such a pleasure. Finally got you on.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Really appreciate it. Please come back.
Thank you.
Your information was awesome. Ballhawk.
Yes, sir.
You call me back, bro?
Man, you say you said you was going to call me the last time.
Whatever, player.
I'll take the blame because I started this domino effect. You are my guy, so.
I appreciate that.
Papa Jordan is my dude.
But T-Dubs, Ahmad Ball Hawkins, Brandon Lloyd, Dougie Fresh Smith, Zach Carey, and of course, the ever entertaining Chris Havlicek. I'm Mark Jerome. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We will see you Wednesday night at 6:30. Have a great rest of the weekend.